across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back with you at 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 27th. It's a Little Red Wagon Day. It's American Red Cross Giving Day, International Whiskey Day, World Theater Day, Spanish Paella Day, which is really delicious if made just right, and Manatee Appreciation Day. Read into that whatever you want. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk to more school board members and candidates about what's at stake in Wisconsin's local elections coming up next week, Tuesday. In a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to former New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who is co-chair of the Biden-Harris Campaign Committee, a former senior advisor to the White House on infrastructure matters, as he tours Wisconsin to look at some of the infrastructure investments being made by the Biden administration. But first, it's time to tell you the key word this hour for the Ride into Spring contest. And that's where you take that Civic Media app that hopefully you've downloaded on your smartphone. Go to the app, look up one of the stations like 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Use the text feature and text this keyword, and that's how you enter the contest. Text the keyword bike, B-I-K-E, bike. Text that now, and you are entered for one of four daily prizes, an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And you're also entered to win among the grand prizes, a 3-in-1 blender, new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture. So again, that is bike is the keyword to text us through the app. And your next chance to win is at 10 a.m. and then again at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. All right, let's get the forecast now. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by on a day when temperatures are all about 20 almost 25 degrees colder than yesterday, Brittany, where a lot of folks are in the teens and the low 20s, but I sense a bit of a warm-up is on the way.
Yeah, so right now this morning, it is crisp, it is chilly, those winds are still whipping up to 35 to 40 miles per hour, especially in the southern half of the state. So yes, our temperature is ranging from about 12 degrees to 30 degrees. Really feel like 0 to 18. So it's a crisp morning out there. We are still seeing chances for lake effect snow into Bayfield and Ashland area. They could get another 2 to 4 inches. And if you didn't know, they got nearly 18 inches as of 5 o'clock yesterday. So huge amount of snow still falling over there for them as the winds continue to whip out of the west northwest today. So it is going to keep us on the cooler side of things. High temperatures will hit the mid-30s until Milwaukee, Madison, but everybody else is going to stay below freezing, especially north of the Dells. We are going to be looking at temperatures into the upper 20s to even mid-20s into Wausau and further north. So a little chilly here today, but we will slowly warm things up as we close this week out. So every single day, getting a touch warmer. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and calm today besides those winds.
All right. And from Rob in Tigerton, we not only get weather, we get traffic and weather together.
Ooh.
He says it's cloudy and 21, wind chill of 8. He says 0.3 inch of rain from Monday night to Tuesday morning. And then tells us that Highway 15 from New London to Appleton will be closed April 1st for the completion of the highway from New London to Appleton to a 4-lane highway until early November. So there's your traffic and weather together on the nines. And I, for one, am glad that that's finally going to be 4-lane from New London to Appleton, because I do take that stretch, have taken it quite a bit. So nice to see the road work season is getting underway here. We'll be seeing more of those orange barrels before you know it.
Oh, it sure is. This gives me an idea, though. I think you guys should send me up in a chopper. Weather and traffic.
We can only, sorry, Brittany, we only have a budget for a weather balloon.
Okay, I'll take it. How about a hot air balloon?
Hot air balloon.
No, you misunderstand. Remember the movie Up and the old guy with the handful of balloons? That's really all we got. So if that works for you, then you're in.
But there will be an old guy saying, climate change isn't real.
There's got to be some old grouch there. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Late yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Mitch Landrieu. He is the former mayor of New Orleans. He is the co-chair of the reelection campaign for President Biden and Vice President Harris. And he has been the senior advisor on infrastructure matters. And this former mayor is out and about around Wisconsin visiting with other mayors and other local officials about some of the infrastructure investments that have been made through everything from the Inflation Reduction Act to the American Rescue Plan and the bipartisan infrastructure law. And when we started our conversation, you know, we couldn't help but note what had just happened in Baltimore with the tragedy of the ship running into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And so I begin my conversation with Mitch Landrieu talking about how infrastructure is not something we should ever take for granted.
Well, yes, that's true. And listen, I thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Baltimore. I talked to the governor of Maryland this morning, Wes Moore, who's great. The president has been on the phone with him and all of the other officials in Baltimore and in Maryland, as well as Secretary Buttigieg has been on the ground all day yesterday and then is there today. The president made a commitment that he's going to be there with them until the end. The president, you know, is always runs to the fire on these things and is going to be there with that community, as he would, by the way, in Wisconsin or any other place in the country where that happens. And he's been just great in terms of emergency response. But it does point out how important his mission was to rebuild the infrastructure in America. You may recall that, you know, the presidents of the last 50 years have tried this. Donald Trump talked about infrastructure week all the time and was never able to even have one infrastructure day. And of course, President Biden passed $1.2 trillion investments in rebuilding the roads and the bridges and the airports and the ports and the waterways, making sure that everybody in America, especially people in rural Wisconsin, have access to high-speed internet, clean water, clean air, and a clean energy economy. And so where Donald Trump failed, you know, President Biden delivered. And so it is a sad moment to have to think about this in such stark relief of why it's important that we reinvest in our bridges, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why President Biden brought $1.6 billion to help build the Blatnik Bridge in the northern part of this state, as well as the other $6 billion that he has sent to Wisconsin to help with the other infrastructure things that I've talked about. So yesterday and today, I've been in Milwaukee. I've been in Racine. I'm heading to Madison as we speak. I'll spend some time in La Crosse and Wausau working with the mayors of those communities and highlighting the real benefits that people of Wisconsin have gotten from the president's investments. And remember, this isn't 4 years ago. The president's been here 9 times. I've been here at least 5 or 6. The vice president's been here many times. The cabinet secretaries have been here. I think Secretary Granholm is in the state, if not as we speak. She was here yesterday. So Wisconsin's critically important, not just for electoral purposes, but it's a critical part of the economy of this country. And the president wants to make sure we lift everybody up in Wisconsin.
And you know, when we think of like big superstructure bridges, like in Baltimore, and we think of the Blatnik Bridge in Duluth, and we have equally noteworthy bridges, the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee, we have one in Green Bay for the ports there. That's the big, almost sexy infrastructure that people love to talk about. The president's been there a couple of times now with the Blatnik Bridge in the background, but you really get down in the weeds, and I mean right down into water lines and sewer lines and where the internet goes and the electric buses. I mean, that's a lot of plates to keep spinning.
Yeah, but listen, first of all, I was here some time ago in Madison with a series of 6 bridges, the John Nolan bridges in Madison that we rebuilt. But, you know, look, governing is about getting your hands dirty and being on the ground where it really matters. This is what the president thinks about every day. And this is why he and Trump are so different. Trump wakes up every day thinking about himself, thinking about, you know, the top 1% in this country, hoping things are going to trickle down to the bottom, not delivering on promises that he's made, leaving people behind, and then kind of spending all of his time talking about retribution or revenge. That's not what Joe Biden does. And I've had the great joy of working with him for the past 2 years in very close proximity and watched this guy who's full of vim and vigor, you know, and is really ready to go and making it happen in very specific ways. And look, let me give you, you know, real life examples. I was in Milwaukee not too long ago, outside of the home of citizens with a woman named Deanna Branch, who's from Milwaukee, who had 2 kids, Jaden and Aiden, who got sick from drinking, you know, nasty water out of lead pipes. We were actually fixing the pipes to the houses in that neighborhood. Today, I was in Racine. The mayor there did an unbelievable job of taking American Rescue Plan dollars and apportioning them into programs that help young people get into jobs in City Hall, help people get GEDs, put people actually back to work. I'm going to Madison right now to go to a facility that's being built with $6.8 million of funds that Joe Biden sent down to make sure that members of the Hispanic community have what it is they need to lift up their family. So this is a guy, Joe Biden is a guy that talks the talk, he walks the walk, and he has the receipts. And this is to be juxtaposed. And then this is just straight up, you know, this election is going to be about a choice. You can go be with a guy who wants to tear everybody down. You can be with a guy that's going to lift everybody up. You can be with a guy that's going to talk, that doesn't deliver anything. Or you're going to be with a guy that actually has changed the lives of the people, specifically in Wisconsin, in a real meaningful way on the ground where it matters, where they live, putting more money in their pocketbook, helping them pay for their kids' education, creating high-paying union jobs. And, oh, by the way, just as an example, yesterday the utilities in Wisconsin agreed to a deal with the unions to provide 28,000 jobs to rebuild all of the renewable energy projects that have gone on in this state. That's high wages, that's high jobs, that's generational wealth. That's real deal stuff for the people of Wisconsin. And that comes courtesy of Joe Biden's, you know, use of the presidency on behalf of the people of this country who elected him.
There he is. That's Mitch Landrieu, former mayor of New Orleans. We're going to have part two of that conversation coming up in just a couple of moments here. First, a little sports at 7:17. The Brewers open up the season tomorrow in New York. They'll be taking on the Mets, and you can catch Brewers baseball on these stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The broadcast tomorrow begins at 11:35 to get the Brewers' 2024 season off the ground. The Milwaukee Bucks had the Lakers on the ropes last night at home. They were up 19 points in the fourth quarter. Then the Lakers found some energy that the Bucks could not tap into. They tied it, forced the game into overtime, then into double overtime, where the Lakers came out on top 128-124. They will next play tomorrow night in New Orleans. When we come back, more of our conversation with Mitch Landrieu about how Republicans have been reacting to the many infrastructure projects that are going up around Wisconsin and around the rest of the country. And then we'll be talking about the importance of school board elections in our next half hour. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, who has a birthday today, turning 49. You can catch all the musical birthdays and history notes in today's history lesson every morning at about 6:50. In the daily newsletter from Up North News, you can get a primer on Top Chef. In case you missed last week's season premiere of their Wisconsin season, learn more about it and get set to tune in tonight for that. Now, part two of my conversation with Mitch Landrieu about infrastructure investments by the Biden administration all around Wisconsin. So tell me, as somebody who's certainly seen your share of politics, you're now co-chair of the campaign, and in reading about what the president is doing for infrastructure, and you mentioned the Hispanic community a moment ago, and there's a note about how Republicans actually sent the president a letter. They were concerned about, as it was put, excessive consideration of social equity, climate change, and union jobs. And we mention all the time on this program when they're attacking DEI, and before that it was CRT. And you know, my thought has always been, what are you guys offering other than, again, I was surprised to see it again. They want to keep going back to the well and saying, well, we don't want to talk about the climate. We don't want to talk about social equity. And when clearly the president thinks it's part of any infrastructure agenda.
This is not. I can explain this to them, but I can't understand it for them. All right. This is really simple. Diversity is a strength. It's not a weakness. The more people that we have participating in the economy, the more all of us are going to do better, because diversity is an economic growth strategy. If you got to find people to do the work, and you want to find the best people, and you want to find the best and the brightest, you want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate in the jobs that are going to be created. Number one. Number two, what kind of begs the question is they always forget that they didn't create any jobs. The president has created 15 million jobs. Donald Trump lost 2.5 million jobs. The president wanted to bring manufacturing back to the country. He's brought 800,000 manufacturing jobs. So a rising tide lifts all boats. For the life of me, I don't understand why folks on the other side of this issue don't want women and people of color, the Hispanic community, and by the way, white working class people to have jobs. Now, the president has created these jobs through his policies because he's trying to build an economy from what we call the bottom up and the middle out. That is working class people getting the opportunity for the jobs and getting the benefit of having high paying jobs. The other side wants to give a tax break to the top 1%, which are basically 500 millionaires dollars plus, and hope that it gets down to everybody else, and it never does. So the proof is in the pudding. And I think the people of Wisconsin are really smart, and they understand this. Even people that voted for Trump before might have voted for him with a little hope that he was going to show up to help them, and he left them down. I mean, the guy's just an utter failure. And listen, since the State of the Union, by the way, when everybody had the president with a half a foot in the grave, he showed up like Muhammad Ali in the George Foreman fight, and basically kind of laced everybody. And for the last 3 weeks has been traveling around the country, delivering on the promises he made while Donald Trump has been in his basement, down on his knees, looking under the sofa for a nickel to make bail or to get bond for one of his programs. That's what's going on.
He won two tournaments at his own golf course. Let's not forget that.
And I beat Michael Jordan one-on-one the other day in my backyard when nobody was looking.
Lastly, I want to ask you about the mayors that you've been dealing with. We have Katie Rosenberg on a lot from Wausau, Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from Madison. I served in the legislature with Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Talk about the importance, because we've got local elections coming up next week. So it's not just the mayors, but you know, the importance of having these good local officials on everything from county boards and school boards to the mayor's office. They definitely play a role in the infrastructure work you're trying to do.
Look, Corey's been great. Satya, I'm going to see in a couple of minutes. The president, listen, Joe Biden started off as a local elected official. He was a county executive in Delaware. He really understands. He loves mayors. Actually, he would have been a great mayor. He also understands, and my appointment as infrastructure coordinator was a result of him understanding that you just can't pass a bill and take credit for it. You got to implement it. In other words, you got to get the money down to the ground and into the hands of the people who need it. And the people who do that are the mayors. And he is really intent on making sure that the mayors and the local elected officials actually have the ability on behalf of their constituents to get their money in their hands. So the American Rescue Plan dollars went straight to the mayors. They didn't have to ask the governor. They didn't have to ask their legislators. Now, half of the money went to the governor and the legislatures as well. But the point is that he trusted the local elected officials who are responsive to the people in the neighborhoods. And let me just tell you this. I told the mayor this today. Man, when you go to the grocery store in the morning to get groceries, you know those people grab you and it takes you an hour to get out of there. Or if you eat lunch, you were a senator. You understand this. Mm-hmm. When you sit in there, people can grab you because you're accountable. The president understands that because he wants the money in the hands of the American people, because those are the ones who are in power, who sent him there. And that's who he works for every day. So look, when we get down to it in November, the country's going to have a choice. You can be for Donald Trump, who's going to take you backwards, take you to the dark side of life, and it's going to be about retribution, revenge. And by the way, in case people forgot, because COVID messed with people's brains, chaos every damn day. All right? You can have that again if you want it, but that's not really what Joe Biden's for. Joe Biden is for making sure that everybody is included, that we lift everybody up, that we create lots of jobs. And, you know, America finds that promise of fulfilling a more perfect union. That's who he is. And he's just out there. His heart's on his sleeve. Everybody knows who he is. He's full of vim and vigor. He's ready to go. He beat Donald Trump before, and he's going to beat him again. With the help of the people of Wisconsin, I might add.
Mayor Mitch Landrieu, every time I hear you talk, I want to book my next trip to Bourbon Street. Honest to goodness, you are such an ambassador.
Why, you don't like the way I can't talk. You don't like the way I talk.
Oh, no.
I talk funny.
I love it. It just reminds me of so many friendly people I've met there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you come down there, I'll buy you some beignets and some cafe au lait, all right?
You have a deal. Mitch, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you. Safe travels.
See you, Senator. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Doesn't his voice just do that and go, okay, I need to get back to New Orleans? He's basically James Carville's like well-adjusted younger brother, who you can understand a little bit better. and get yourself a wingman like that, who is going to promote you the way that he does for Joe Biden. That is a man who read his job description.
All I have to say is aye.
And I'd like that he pointed out the importance of the partnerships with the mayors. Yeah. We had Katie Rosenberg from Wausau on recently, and you know the money doesn't just show up. It doesn't work that way. You have to make the contacts and the applications. There's hoops to jump through. And so when you've got mayors like the ones I mentioned, you know, that's the kind of partnership you want. Now, we talked about Trump hiding in his basement. And since we'd recorded the interview, mm-hmm. since that time, the former president announced that he's going to have a rally in Green Bay next Tuesday on Election Day for the local elections. Go figure. But I'm thinking there as well, if you missed it in our first hour, how many Trump Bibles he's going to sell. I'm not even kidding. If you hadn't heard this yet, they're actually called God Bless the USA Bibles.
Yeah.
And I would just urge you, I don't think I want to give him the attention. So you just go look up Trump pitching these Bibles and talking about these beautiful Bibles. If that doesn't, you know, do something for you, I don't know what will.
Makes you lose your appetite or
cry a little. Here, I've got the antidote for losing your appetite. Let's get it back with some great food. Top Chef tonight, the second episode of the new season that was shot in Wisconsin. And over at our daily newsletter has a bit of a primer if you want to get into the swing of things and learn more about Top Chef. And on our social media sites, video clips from that 2012 interview we dug up with Senate candidate Eric Hovde and some of his unusual positions and comments. But we're going to get back to the importance of school board elections coming up in our next segment on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning. You're up north. Back now on Up North News Radio, just about 7:35 here. On our social media sites, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Alan Piper lays out three key facts on Robert Kennedy Jr.'s dangerous and bizarre statements. Also, there's a post there about the history of the NCAA basketball tournament and especially the Wisconsin reason for it being called the Big Dance. So look for all of that on social media. Just search for Up North News WI. All right, it's time for this week's homeroom segment where we talk a bit about the value of education, public education, how it is supported or obstructed by various parties. And with this being our last of these segments before the April 2nd election, we wanted to talk to a couple of folks who serve on school boards currently about the importance of the role and, you know, what to listen for when people are running for a school board and try to make sure that you're electing people who are going to be, you know, fully on board with the mission of Wisconsin's public education. And for that, we're thrilled to be joined by two members of the Eau Claire School Board, Erica Zur and Josh Clements. Erica, Josh, nice to have you here. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Now, how long have you each served? Erica, when did you first start serving on the Eau Claire School Board?
I was appointed June of 2020, so excellent time to join a school board.
frying pan fire. Yes, yeah, absolutely. How about you, Josh?
I was elected in April 2020.
Okay, so you guys were put right into the trenches, and you're still here, you know, all these years later, and, you know, up for seats again. This seems to be the appropriate time to say why at a time when things could not be more turbulent to be on a school board anywhere in the country or a candidate for that matter. Josh, we'll start with you first this time. Why continue to serve?
Sure. Well, I think at least in Eau Claire, things seem to have calmed since the experience we had in 2020 and 2021. During that time, I think there was a lot of things that were hot in local and national politics that were of the time. Fortunately, we've largely moved past many of those urgencies of those questions, although their echoes of those still persist. So at least in Eau Claire, in terms of the kind of interaction that I've had with our constituencies, is it's largely about education and questions about what we're doing pertaining to education. But that, I know that's not the case everywhere in terms of I hear from our peers and in other communities where there may be fired up about something that that we're just not seeing as much right in Eau Claire right now. So I continue to serve because I think it's an important thing to do to advance the community or the community development of our communities. And in particular, we have people who are active in the election area and in politics who don't have the public's interest in mind, or are somewhere, you know, along that spectrum where they're seeking to pursue things that are advancing a private interest, or they're a narrow section of our constituency. And I don't think that is supportive of the goals of public education and of public institutions generally. So I continue to serve because I think it's important.
Erica, you know, same question to you again, coming in at such a turbulent time where, yes, things have settled down somewhat, but they're still not calm by any stretch of the imagination. So what is it that you see that makes you want to continue serving on a local school board?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I think Josh, you know, hinted at this, is that, you know, there's one thing that coming through the pandemic as a school board member brought to me, and that was that, you know, holy cats, look at the importance of public schools in our communities, right? Like they are really the foundation of our economy, they play such an important role in our neighborhoods and our families, and when that system is not available or easily accessible, or the resources of that system are not available or accessible, everybody feels it. And so, you know, I think I really got this, I think we all got this glimpse into the importance of public school and what they could really bring to families coming out of the pandemic. I think that what we saw was gasoline on a fire of a lot of problems that existed before the pandemic, but maybe we weren't quite, we didn't quite really see it. So we kind of saw this ballooning of family and student need, right? And I think when need for our families grows, need for our students grows. There were a lot of things that I think we took for granted with schools that kind of like broke something in our family's soul and our kids' soul about what school is and how it works. We see a lot of need, a lot of behavior, a lot of, you know, high levels of special education need, high levels of behavioral need, high levels of academic, you know, need to catch kids up. And just how are we going to, you know, continue to build education into something that's, you know, really strong and fantastic and responsive, but also a financial, like we see this big gasoline on this financial fire that we, you know, in Wisconsin, the funding formulas for schools, you know, Pat, like people know this, they're archaic, they're broken, they're not working. So we get this influx of money from the federal government, right? All public schools get this influx of money from the federal government and say, hey, we know you got big problems. Here's some money, go and fix it. But it's finite. You only get it for a few years, and then it's going to fall off. So now we're in these, we still have the need. We're going to carry that need, right? We're going to all the way through these kids' existence with us, right? And beyond. And yet we have a funding wall now. And we're all seeing that. Every public school is seeing the drop off of the federal COVID relief dollars. And it's leaving big, big holes. We're seeing historic, not only amounts of referendums, but frequency of referenda across the state. And we're not in any different state here in Eau Claire. And I just really felt that institutional knowledge of where we were, what happened during the pandemic, and what we really need to keep moving forward for our schools. It's just, it's too important it's too important a mission to step away from it. And I think that's why I'm here.
We've seen in several school districts now, what could be described as a conservative takeover. We just spoke on Monday with some folks in the Milwaukee suburbs about WIS Red, a project born of the Waukesha County Republican Party, to very specifically target school boards and install people that they think will embrace more of a political agenda. Is that kind of scenario playing out around Eau Claire as well, as far as you can tell, or no? Josh, what do you see?
Well, I don't honestly know a great deal about the other two candidates beyond what they've shared publicly. So I can't, I don't want to characterize what their motivations are. But I think that constituencies that are active in other parts of the state, like Milwaukee, certainly are active here. At least to date, they don't have a candidate on our board. So, and I'm not familiar with all of the officials in our neighboring districts. So it's definitely something that we should be vigilant about, and ask our candidates what their motivations are and what they would actually do if they were on the board. I think that the least of the reporting I've seen out of places like Milwaukee is they find wedge issues that get people fired up in order to advance a broader and perhaps deeper agenda that doesn't have anything to do with education per se, and is more about a vision of institutions that serve a specific worldview rather than the public's interest. And those things tend to be in conflict.
Well, and not just wedge issues that they bring into a school board race, but money. Some of these districts have seen all manner of out of district money coming in for mailers and for radio ads and things like that. And so, again, Erica, you've only, I think if I were talking to somebody who's been on a board for, 10, 20 years, they could really compare and contrast, the cost and the stress of running for school board. But how would you characterize, what kind of resources you have to put into running a local school board race compared to what we imagine it used to be years ago?
Well, I'm the wrong candidate to ask, because I've made it very clear to most people, and people have asked to give me money, and I've said I don't raise money. And I do that because I firmly believe in the nonpartisan aspect of school board elections. And so there's nothing that will give away a candidate quicker than political, dog whistles or funding or mass funding. Because I think at the end of the day, every single person wants schools that work for all kids, right? We want healthy public schools. And I think that that's just a universal thing that we share. And it shouldn't just work for, the students of Republicans or the students of Democrats or the students of liberals or the students of Trump conservatives. It should work for all of those kids and all of those families. And I think if voters pay attention, they will see political motivations can very easily be seen in nonpartisan elections. You can very easily access it. But I do think, we've seen some very hotly contested or more highly contested races here in the last few years. And a lot of money has been raised. Absolutely. And I think it makes school board candidates, incumbents, particularly really uncomfortable, because, we're not that far removed from races where you hardly ever had opponents, you hardly ever had to raise money. I certainly did not. My first, I've never raised a cent in any political race that I've done, and I'm proud of that. But I see it. I do see it. It is coming, and I could see it very clearly in more competitive districts, maybe, or smaller districts for sure.
When we'd had your colleague Tim Nordine on sometime back about this topic, he talked about the watching out for candidates who appear to be single issue candidates. Maybe it's just books, or maybe it's just taxes or things like that. So again, moving beyond the Eau Claire School District, Josh, but just speaking to voters at large, What are the things that you want people to see in a school board candidate, or the warning signs in a school board candidate? Because again, they don't run tons of TV ads. It's very tough to compare. So how do you help a voter understand that a school board candidate is or isn't a good fit for the board?
Sure. And it's really difficult if you're looking at a mailer and you see perhaps a dozen words. You really have to do a little bit of homework to find out what are they running about? What is their platform? What do they like to do, want to do as a candidate? And if really you can't find much information beyond the one or two issues that you're hearing about, those are huge red flags. Certainly there's going concerns that seem to be capturing attention, and you need to address those as a candidate. But you know, you need to have some more depth there to reflect that you've thought about and understand what it means to be a commissioner or school board member or whatever the office is that you're going, you're pursuing. Typically, a candidate will have some information that's out there. And at least in Eau Claire, the local media has done a fair job in terms of putting out questionnaires and airing interviews so that people can go and easily, within a few minutes, get a snapshot of what someone's about. And you know, that's really critical in an area where we're kind of oversaturated by information. But if you see yard signs and you go get postcards, those often don't communicate a great deal.
Mm-hmm. I've got under 30 seconds here for Erica to take our last question, but make the case why somebody who maybe isn't thinking of voting, why they should vote in their local elections on Tuesday.
Oh my goodness, because I really believe that our communities depend on local elections. I'm from a small town, Northeast South Dakota. I've been in Wisconsin now for 16 years, and I can just say that every community I've ever lived in, it's your local government, it's your local people, it's the people you run into at the concert or at the farmer's market or when you're on a walk or, you know, when you're gardening or whatever it is. Getting to know those people are what make the decisions that most affect us on a day-to-day basis. So get to know those people, vote in your local elections. It's super important to the function of our communities.
It's just that, yeah, everybody can ramp up that civic engagement, which is what we're all about over here as well. Erica Zur and Josh Clements, thank you so much for telling us more about your time on the Eau Claire School Board. Wish you all the best. Have a great day.
Thank you, Beth.
Coming up next, Todd Alba, you're up north. One more from birthday girl Mariah Carey to bring in our own civic media diva, Todd Alba, this year. And again, we talked about good divas and bad divas, and you're clearly a good diva, generous and giving, but you're not allowed to look him in the eye most of the time if you see him in the hallway or something.
Mr. Alba, here is your cafe au lait.
And then back away with your head bowed. Yes, I know.
That is so absolutely not me.
That's true. How are you?
Good. I was listening to the last segment, and look, I'm no Wisconsin Education Network member. I'm no school board person. I'm certainly not a superintendent of public schools. But let me give a listeners a little tip. If you're looking to vote next week in school board elections, if the candidate's theme song is "We don't need no education," probably not the person to vote for.
You really hit the nail on the head with that one, Captain Obvious. All right.
Because
that works out all.
That's a double negative, friends.
That's right.
But don't, you know, I'm not sure about this time, but I have seen in the past people running for a board of education, and they don't say those words, but sometimes that's basically the platform. Like, you know, it was fine when we had a one-room school back in my day. What do we need computers for? I mean, really?
No, we actually had that. We had that in Eau Claire way, way back now, you know, in the early 2000s, where a candidate specifically, you know, a self-described fiscal conservative, was wondering out loud through his whole campaign, why do we have computer? Why do you need computer labs? Why do you need computers in schools?
Wow.
It was, yeah, I know. Yeah. You just put your hand to your forehead, and that's how a lot of the rest of us were as well. And so you're looking for people who are forward-looking and, again, compassionate about the job. And you hope you get that from people. If you get instead the thing of it's all about taxes or it's all about accountability or parents' rights or something like that, those are your red flags.
I thought your guests last segment were so good, and I would just echo it. I mean, really look for people to use it. You said, Pat, who are committed to the job, because I do think there are people that run for office, we've all seen it, that think, well, this is easy, and they don't quite understand how much reading, particularly in school boards, go into this, all the state regulations, all the federal regulations that school boards have to adhere to. And it's not just showing up to a meeting every other week and voting. There's a lot of research if you want to do it well. So people who are committed and understand the seriousness of it are folks that I try to look for.
I wonder if, coming back to a topic we had earlier, I was hoping the first thing you were going to tell me was how enthusiastically you went online to buy your Trump Bible after he started.
And the thing is, I used to be like, you know, when the song first came out, I was a big Lee Greenwood fan. And what the heck has happened to that guy? I mean, he's drank the Kool-Aid, bought the T-shirt and the hat and seen the movie.
Here's Roger chiming in. Roger, writes on Facebook, I have lost all respect for Lee Greenwood since he's pushing these Bibles on his website.
Yes, me well too. Said,
Roger. I lost respect for him somewhere in like 2005. Like that song before pre 9/11 and like maybe a year or two after. Oh my God, I'd be in tears when I heard that song because it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, you're like, ugh, this song again. quit coloring Hello. Your beard.
That was a random criticism.
I have hard opinions on men coloring their beards.
Okay.
Well, clearly I do not.
So. Do I.
Right. I just could not help but, I mean, the irony of you know, hawking Bibles that are called God Bless the USA Bibles, you know, during Holy Week from somebody with Donald Trump's background. It is a miracle of biblical proportions that lightning did not strike as he was recording, you know, that particular ad.
I don't know. I'm kind of a, you know, I'm a quiet person of faith, and sometimes I think God delays the lightning a little bit. So, you know, there are some things coming up this year, the Trump life, you know, trials and whatnot. I mean, you know, maybe the lightning will be a bit more subtle in Mr. Trump's life, but yeah, I mean, I don't care who it is. I've never in my life remember a politician of any stripe, color, or party hawking a Bible for money.
No.
I mean,
again, Trump Steaks, Trump University, Trump Airlines, right. Trump Magazine, Trump Water. This is just the latest incarnation of that.
But I got to say congratulations to him because Steaks, Magazine, Airline, all that stuff, fails. Shoes, NFTs, Bibles, success. Well, they all sell out. They all make some. I don't know if they make him money. They make somebody money.
They pay the legal bills.
Yeah,
which is really what this is all about. I don't know if you got to hear our segment earlier this hour with Mitch Landrieu talking about infrastructure and things. But boy, you know from having been in politics and me as well, you need people around your team who are so mission driven. And so consistently on message. And I remember that from his time as mayor of New Orleans. There are just some people, they know the job. Well, you know, as a mayor and then as maybe somebody else's spokesperson or whatever. And, you know, they don't at no point do they make it about themselves, you know, and try to do self-aggrandizement over there. And it just reminded me, you and I have met and worked with so many people in the state capitol that are that fit that mold perfectly, because then you meet the ones who don't. It kind of throws your day off. But there's still a lot of good folks in that building.
There really are. And when you say that, I guess the first name that comes to my mind, and a lot of people won't recognize the name, but perhaps I think the biggest unsung hero in state government is Bob Lang, the director of the State Fiscal Bureau. And people say, oh, the treasurer? No. The revenue guy? No. Or gal? No. Bob Lang is someone who's been, he's been there, what, 30, 40 years, Pat, at least? Something like that. And he's still getting it done, by the way. And he's managed to navigate when both parties have been in control of the legislature and the governor's chair. And it's really his nonpartisan organization, the State Fiscal Bureau, who basically helps write the actual law of the budget. And you never know where Bob is politically. He just gets it done and serves the people of Wisconsin.
he is the very definition of an honest broker, which is what people from both sides of the political spectrum need when you're talking about support staff in order to do your job. That's what makes it so depressing when you see things that had been above board start to lose their you know, tarnish their reputation. And I'm thinking specifically of the Legislative Audit Committee and how, you know, that audit committee, you were just dedicated to the mission. And unfortunately, too many GOP legislators have tried to politicize that. But we'll have to save that for another day because Todd Alba's got his own show to prep for from noon to two today.
Yes, I have a copy of the new Trump Bible here, and this is my today, morning devotional. Remember, according to the Trump Bible, thou without sin shall not cast the first stone unless thy have gotten a tan. So there you go.
Thank you, Mr. Alba.
The new Trump Bible.
Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier. Find out more at couriernewsroom.com. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.